Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive. With Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Today is my last day of the week. Rob will be here to hold you down the next 2 days. Binkley will also be here to hold you down the next 2 days. So why don't we enjoy the next few hours that we have? My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here. Rob Britton here as well, taking you up until 5 o'clock, where we hand things off to what could be possibly the hottest team in baseball, the Kansas City Royals. We'll get to that coming up in just a bit. We got a lot to get into. We will put the final touches on our conversation about the NFL draft and the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, will be on the show coming up at 2 o'clock. We also will have Joel Goldberg join us on the show coming up in 30 minutes. And that's where we have to begin today's show, the Kansas City Royals. Now, I know that we temporarily put the Royals on a shelf. And we shifted our focus to talking about the Chiefs in the NFL draft and what they were going to do this offseason. And baseball fans, I want you to know that we did not neglect you. We did not forget you. We are now coming back to the Royals. I have certainly had my eye on the Kansas City Royals, but we had more pressing things to discuss. But now a majority of those things are behind us. Now, I want to say, while we were away temporarily from the Royals, you know what? They have gotten hot. They have played really good baseball of late. Their offense has turned things around. They have been a far better and far more competitive team, to the point where if the Royals win today, they will be over 500 for just the eighth time in the last 20 years on May 1st. Now, you guys know my saying, this is the last time you will hear me say this. You cannot make the postseason in April. You can miss the postseason in April. We don't need to have that conversation anymore because the Royals did not put themselves in a position where you need to worry about what they did in April and it potentially drowning them. It looked like that could be the case for a while, but the Royals have taken care of business the last 10 days or so and have put themselves in a really good situation. So if they win today, it will be just the eighth time in the last 20 years that the Royals have been at 500 or better heading into May 1st. Now, this is what's really important. Did you know that only 4 times in the last 20 years have the Royals been at or above 500 on June 1st? And did you know that last year there were 12 teams that found themselves at 500 or better on June 1st, and 10 of those teams made the baseball playoffs, including your Kansas City Royals. So we are getting close to the point where it's no longer early. We are halfway through that point. And if you look at last season, if you look at the history of it, you have passed stage one of the baseball season. There is another stage, too, determining if you are possibly going to be a playoff team or not. It is the month of May. And if you look at the schedule for the Kansas City Royals and what is in front of the Kansas City Royals, this is shaping up to be a pretty good month for this team. The schedule really lightens up. You play Tampa Bay for two more games. You play Baltimore, a team that feels like they have been in a tailspin for their last 120 games if you go back to last season. You play the Chicago White Sox. The American League is very bunched up at this point, but the White Sox continue to be all by themselves, and I don't mean that in a good way. The Royals' schedule certainly lightens up in the month of May if you are holding it up against what they had in April. This is the month to strike. This is the month to find yourself potentially 4-5 games up and ahead of 500 and really in a position where you can make a run at the postseason. Again, last year there were 12 teams that were 500 or better on June 1st. 10 of those teams made the postseason. All of those teams finished with a winning record. So April is obviously very important, and you want to build those winning habits. You got to do it for another month. And if we're talking that you are 50, 55 games into the season and you're around a 500 club, that really gives you a long-term picture of the kind of team that you are going to be. I'm looking at this Royals offense. I think they are going to be better moving forward in their next 20, 25 games than they were before. I think this offense can get one or two guys in this lineup potentially going. We'll see what happens with the Hunter Renfro. We'll see what happens with some of the other players. But for an offense right now that really still, for the entire month of April, really only has one person going, and that's Bobby Witt Jr. If this offense can get Salvador Perez going in this month, if they can get the old Vinny Pasquantino back, and they haven't had Vinny Pasquantino, if you were looking at in real time, for 2.5 months, they had him last August. They didn't have him in September. They didn't really have him for October. I know he was on the field, but that was not a healthy Vinny Pasquantino. And they essentially didn't have him for the first month of this season. It has been a while since they've had the Vinny Pasquantino that was in line to hit 25 home runs, to have over 100 RBIs, that we looked at as one of the better young emerging power hitters in baseball. If they can get those things to come together in May and heading into this summer, this could be a really, really fun next 115, 110-game stretch for the Kansas City Royals. You guys know the rules. If we start the show talking about the Royals, and that can only mean one thing, and you know what? It's been a while since we've done this. Hit me, Rob.
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
Okay, today's Random Royals Live takes us back to one of those teams that was, I would say, improbably above 500 on May 1st, the 2011 Kansas City Royals, that on May 1st were 15-13.
That's real.
On this date, they played the Minnesota Twins at home, and they won 11-2. Here was your Royals starting lineup.
I would love some of that offense today.
Leading off at third base, Mike Aviles,
who might have the greatest batting stance in Royals history.
Batting second, the center fielder, Melky Cabrera.
The milkman.
Batting third, in left field, Alex Gordon.
I'm not mad at that. This is actually a pretty solid lineup.
Batting fourth, at first base, Billy Butler.
One of the most underrated players in Royals history.
Batting fifth, in right field, Jeff Francoeur.
I'm guessing this is where their lineup falls apart. Normally when we do this, somewhere around five is normally when things just completely go off the tracks.
Batting sixth, the designated hitter, Wilson Bedamy.
How did I know? I mean, I saw this coming a mile away. I don't know the lineup, but I know this lineup.
I mean, it's every time. By the way, Butler doubled and homered on this date in 2011, so he was doing his job. Batting seventh, the shortstop, Alcides Escobar.
This is how I know the Royals weren't good yet.
Batting eighth, the catcher, Matt Traynor.
Who?
It was the volleyball player's husband.
I mean, I know who he is, but who?
Is it bad that I remember him as the volleyball player's husband more than the baseball player?
The fact that you remember that he was married to Misty May Trainer tells me everything about his baseball ability.
And batting ninth, the fan favorite, the second baseman, Chris Getz.
Oh, boy. Who pitched this day for the Royals?
The Royals got a solid start from Sean O'Sullivan and then got bullpen help from Nathan Adcock, Aaron Crow, and Jeremy Jeffries as the Royals beat the Twins on this date in 2011. The most surprising part of the Royals that day, they scored two runs off Joe Nathan. I don't think the Royals have ever scored two runs off Joe Nathan.
Do you think there's someone that lives among us that has the Royals Adcock jersey? Because I would love to meet somebody listening right now has the Royals 2011 Nate Adcock uniform. And I just love to meet that person to figure out what was going through their mind when they made that purchase.
Do you think Aaron Crow is Colt Royals' hero, or is he still disliked by the fan base?
I think he is a Colt Royals' hero because he went to Missouri. I think that is what kept him as a Colt World hero. And, I mean, he was a good player for a time.
He was effective. I mean, he was
a good player until he wasn't a good player, but he certainly had a good stretch. It was
over and fast.
He absolutely had a good stretch with the Kansas City Royals. All right, coming up on the other side, you know what? Let's talk a little bit of NFL before we are joined by Joel Goldberg. Excuse me. Joel Goldberg is going to be on the show in a little bit. There are a couple of questions as we are getting into the NFL offseason. We'll discuss them. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, your home for the best food takes in KC.
Regular old American nachos. You know, I don't need jalapenos with mine, just chips, cheese.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
We're going to get back to the Royals in a little bit. Joel Goldberg is going to call into the show in about 15 minutes or so. There are still some questions that need to be answered in the National Football League. We are trying to figure out what Aaron Rodgers is going to do. We are trying to figure out what Kirk Cousins is going to do. Now, I don't know if this counts as a conspiracy theory or an idea or what the correct term would be. But I believe that Aaron Rodgers is going to join the Pittsburgh Steelers. I believe that the Steelers would have been more proactive this offseason if they had no plan at quarterback. Now, I don't know exactly what the plan is. Maybe they're going to get through the draft. Aaron Rodgers is going to show up at some point in June, and they don't want to deal with the entire back and forth of, well, why was Aaron Rodgers not at OTAs? Why was he not at minicamp? That's just my own theory. I just feel like we have seen every team try to come up with a possible solution at quarterback for this upcoming season. The only team that hasn't really done anything to try to answer those questions has been the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, what's their plan if they don't go get Aaron Rodgers? What's their plan in week one for an organization that we know takes great pride in trying to make the postseason and trying to be a viable and competitive team? I mean, they have one of the bottom five quarterback situations in the National Football League. Maybe you think they will still have that if they go get Aaron Rodgers, but at least that is a short-term plan. So that is one thing that we are potentially waiting on. What's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers? What is the future of him? And what is his future in the National Football League and what the Steelers are going to do at the quarterback position? The other question is around Kirk Cousins and what he could potentially do. Right now, he is the backup quarterback in Atlanta. That's spending a whole lot of money for a backup quarterback. We have already let the draft go by, and you can't trade him for a draft pick anymore, at least not in this year's draft class, because all of them have already been used. Here's Ian Rappaport with the latest.
So the Kirk Cousins thing, I was, you know, kind of keeping track of and trying to figure like, all right, if he leaves Atlanta, where might he go? And I think if your good friend Aaron Rodgers does not go to Pittsburgh, I think that would be a possibility. But it feels to me like the other possibilities kind of don't exist. Like people talked about the Vikings. Okay, well, they traded for Sam Howell. Okay. People talked about maybe the Browns. Okay, well, they, I don't know if you guys know this, but they drafted a second quarterback in Shedeur Sanders. So I don't think he's going there, and I don't think he'd go anywhere.
And
Dylan Gabriel.
Jeez.
And so, like, the more this goes, I kind of think he's going to be the Falcons' backup, which, like, there's no source on that because the Falcons have told us this from the beginning. It's just we kind of, like, just didn't believe them, it feels like. but I think, I mean, he's got family in Atlanta. I'm not sure, like, he's going to – he's got no trade clause. I'm not sure he's going to go anywhere unless, like, something crazy happens where he would be able to go be the starter.
I am guessing that Kirk Cousins' best opportunity to start this year in the National Football League is either in Pittsburgh, where Aaron Rodgers doesn't take the job, and we'll double back on Pittsburgh here in a bit. So Aaron Rodgers decides, I'm done playing in the National Football League. Pittsburgh is left scrambling. They go get Kirk Cousins as a viable option for them this upcoming season. Or it's waiting for an injury to happen. Because Cleveland, they have 5 players in their room. I don't know why Cleveland would now go out and get Kirk Cousins. It just doesn't make any sense to me. When you've got Kenny Pickett, you've got Joe Flacco, you just spent 2 draft picks on quarterbacks, now you're going to spend another asset or more cap space to go get another quarterback? It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me if you're Cleveland. I think you have to cross them off the list. I still think it undermines what the Falcons want to do if you are bringing Kirk Cousins back. And if you're Michael Penix and you play poorly in the first month of the season, you already know what the conversation is going to be. Well, do they make the right decision? Well, should they go back to Kirk Cousins? I just think you usually want to eliminate that conversation and you want a clean, fresh start. And the best way to have that clean, fresh start is to remove the possibility of the conversation, and that's getting Kirk Cousins off of the roster. I still believe that he will be on another team at the beginning of training camp, or possibly an injury happens in training camp. Something happened like a couple of years ago to Teddy Bridgewater. Something happened like what happened with Sam Bradford a few years back, where an injury happens, a team is now scrambling for a quarterback, and he is the last remaining viable option to go get that quarterback. I think that's what probably happens with him. And then if you look at Pittsburgh's situation to double back, I mean, their starting quarterback right now would be Mason Rudolph. Their backup quarterback will be Will Howard. That's their plan at QB for this year. You know, this show loves Will Howard, friend of the show. He could maybe be a starting quarterback in the league this upcoming year. I mean, Will Howard to me just screams career backup, and that's a great job. You make $10, $15, $20 million over your life. People like being around you. You're a guy that comes in and you're a Cooper Rush type that's going to be in the league for a while. I mean, that's a good job if you can get it. I just don't know if Pittsburgh is going into this season, not with this quarterback room that they have with Mason Rudolph and Will Howard. I think Pittsburgh has a deal in place with Aaron Rodgers. They are letting him get through whatever personal thing he described to us on Pat McAfee a couple of weeks ago, and he ultimately is going to take this job. Or if Rodgers has a change of heart, I think they have to go out there and get Kirk Cousins. I think we are trying to figure out what two of the veteran QBs in the league are going to do. And it makes sense as we have now concluded the NFL draft cycle. So we're done with free agency. We're done with the draft. Rob, there's just not a lot of jobs. There's not a lot of spots open. Not at that position. Teams have already filled them.
Can you explain to me, and it's maybe impossible to answer, why the Steelers of all franchises are putting up with this with Aaron Rodgers? Because if there is one franchise that I feel like it's, you fall in line, the culture is the culture, this is what we do, maybe even more so than the Kansas City Chiefs, it's the Mike Tomlin Pittsburgh Steelers. It's we above me, or at least that's how it looks like from an outside perspective. But it seems like they're just placating Rodgers without placating Rodgers yet. Hey, we want you, sign on your terms. Hey, we're not going to draft a quarterback, even though quarterbacks were there for us to take in the first couple rounds, because we feel like you're the guy. We're just going to keep waiting. We'd love you. Take your time. We think you're a great quarterback. You can do what you got to do. You get through your personal stuff. Hey, if you don't want to come to OTAs, I mean, Ken, that's fine. We'll sign you in June if that makes you happy. How come the Steelers of all franchises are playing this game with Aaron Rodgers? If there was one team in the league, I thought would have said, here's the hard line, get on board or don't, it would have been the Steelers. But it feels like they're just placating Rodgers, which is stunning to me for an organization that proud.
I think it's a combination of two things. This was not a great veteran crop of quarterbacks this year. People didn't love this draft class. There aren't a lot of options if you were them. I mean, honestly, one of the best options for Pittsburgh would have been Justin Fields. They didn't seem to have much interest in Justin Fields. Other than that, it was Justin Fields. It was Russell Wilson. It was those Daniel Jones. It was those type of quarterbacks that were available this offseason. So it's a bad veteran group. You didn't obviously love this year's class, or you would have taken one in the NFL draft a little higher than Will Howard, where you got him in the sixth round. I just think this was one of those years where Pittsburgh kind of has to hold on and wait for next year. You get Aaron Rodgers, he can help you potentially make the postseason, and then in 2026, where the expectation is that that is going to be a much better quarterback class than the one that we had. I mean, there were, what, five quarterbacks I think I saw taken. It was the fewest in the first, what, three rounds, four rounds since like 1972. Like, the people that do this for a living and the general managers, they have told us, hey, we don't think very, very highly of this quarterback class, so I understand the Pittsburgh Steelers not spending a lot of resources when it comes to trying to find their forever quarterback in this year's draft class. Coming up in about 5 minutes or so, Joel Goldberg will join us on the show. We'll get his thoughts on the Kansas City Royals as they are in Tampa right now. They won game one of the series. If they win one of these next two, they will win the series and continue their very hot streak. Before we do that, you know that you've messed up. When Charles Barkley goes on the Dan Patrick Show and tells you that he is concerned for you. So earlier today, Charles Barkley went on the Dan Patrick Show, and that's actually one of the shows that he kind of frequents. I like when he goes on there, and here's Charles Barkley talking about Bill Belichick, who he's concerned for.
This is a very slippery subject for me because Bill's one of my really good friends. I'm not sure what's going on. He's been a great friend for me for a long time. We've been friends since he coached for the Browns. I think he got to be very careful right now. This is starting to be on a very slippery slope. He's the greatest football coach ever for him and Nick Saban, for college Nick Saban, for Bill, the NFL. Yeah, from what I'm hearing, it's starting to be a very slippery slope. And I never talk about people's personal relationship. That's another rule I got. But I will admit, I'm a little concerned with some of the stuff that's going on. And I might actually reach out to him and make sure everything's good. But I am concerned from what I'm hearing. Because it's not a good look right now. I'll admit that.
Whenever your boys got to reach out to you and check to see if you're good based on the relationship that you're in, you're moving a little funny. I actually like when we didn't know anything about Bill Belichick. They say that you should never meet your heroes, and that meeting your heroes is like figuring out how magic works. I don't want to know how you did the trick. I simply want to be amazed at how you do it. Bill Belichick has created this aura of the hoodie and being so stoic and not answering questions and being this secretive, elusive individual. He has taken a sledgehammer to all of that in the last 3 months over this girl. Whenever you got a release, you have released multiple statements about the interview that you did on CBS Sunday Morning. I agreed to speak with CBS Sunday Morning to promote my book. Prior to this interview, I clearly communicated with my publicist that any interview I participated in would agree solely to focus on the contents of the book. She's in your book. You called this woman in your book your creative and coaching muse. So it seems to me like asking a question about her is in bounds. You also don't get to do interviews, and then you can define what questions are asked in the interview. That ain't how this goes. It doesn't go where you ask me to give you pre-approved questions, and then we go through the interview. No, I'm not interested in doing that interview then. Go promote your book elsewhere. This is a you scratch my back, I scratch yours. We have Bill Belichick sitting down with our show. We obviously want to hear from you. You have won multiple Super Bowls. You are a new head coach. You are in a very public, visible relationship. One of the most visible relationships right now in American pop culture. Yes, we're going to ask you about it. You're moving weird. That's how you're moving. You're moving weird. Bill, I just want you to know that the rest of us, we understand. I get it. You got a new relationship. You're feeling good. You're happy. You're having new experiences. But Bill, we also are worried about you. Because what I've seen these last 4 or 5 weeks with you and your new lady, it's a little troubling. You got a CC'd on your emails. She's interrupting interviews. It's a lot, Bill. We haven't even got to the football part of it. If there's one thing we used to know about the Patriots was that they hated distractions. Bill, you are dating the distraction. I never thought I would say that about Bill Belichick. You learn something new every day. Let's go to the phone lines right now. We will head down to Tampa, Florida, and be joined by Joel Goldberg, who covers the Kansas City Royals for the FanDuel Sports Network. Joel, how you doing, my man?
I'm good, C-Dot. Just looking out here at Steinbrenner Field in Tampa, the minor league or spring training home of the Yankees, with Rays signs everywhere and off in the distance, Buccaneers flags across the street from the Bucs Stadium. So I don't know. Maybe there's something with Belichick there. Probably not.
So let's start with this, Joel. What is different about the Royals the last 10 days than the previous 10 days? Because these are two completely different Royals teams that we've seen over the last 3 weeks or so.
Yeah, I mean, they're still not really hitting a whole lot. That'll happen. And, I think, and this has gone on since the beginning of time, I mean, there's no team in baseball, the best team, the worst team, and everybody in between, that is immune from, you know, a hot streak and a cold streak. And I think that the bad teams, the White Sox and Rockies types of teams of the world, are going to have a lot more of those bad streaks. And the Dodgers and teams like that are going to have a lot more of the winning. I mean, I know this is really obvious, and I think the Royals are certainly somewhere in between there and probably more on the good end. They're a playoff contending team, and you know, just last year they had two or three of those stretches. They didn't happen till late in the year. I mean, remember last year everybody was panicking, understandably so, late in the season as they had their second big losing streak in September. And I remember J.J. Piccolo after the first one saying, glad we got that out of the way. And then 2 weeks later, they had another one. So it is the worst answer. It's just baseball. But that's a way of saying there's no explaining it. Now, you could sit there and say why they didn't do it right. Right? They weren't hitting well with runners in scoring position. They're doing that a little bit better right now. But I think really more than anything, what's kept them afloat is their pitching. And you know, if you're going to survive a 2-8 road trip and a 6-game losing streak, the only way to erase that is to come out and have a 6-game winning streak. And now they've lost 7 of 8. So they're kind of back to where they were, close to it.
It does feel, Joel, that this offense is simply waiting for the rest of the team to catch up with Bobby Witt Jr. Now, I know that's setting a very lofty expectation, but, yeah. I mean, Salvi still hasn't hit yet. Vinny still hasn't hit yet. It's basically been Bobby Witt Jr., Garcia, and that's really been about it consistently offensively for this team.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think that there are a couple good pieces there that I'm seeing. The first is obvious, Bobby Witt Jr. Tonight, by the way, is his 500th career game, and I think the question to ask is not what to make of the first 500, we'll ask that tonight, but what to make of the next however many, right? I mean, if he's just getting started, what does the next 500 look like? But, okay, yeah, check him off the list. I think the best, most pleasant surprise so far this season, I think there are two of them for me in terms of things that you could have hoped for but couldn't necessarily expect. One is Michael Garcia. The other one is Chris Bubich. Bubich was fighting for a rotation spot. If that didn't happen, maybe it was going to be bullpen where he looked good coming out of Tommy John last year. And Michael Garcia was, you know, what's his position? I mean, if Massey's going to play second and India's going to play third or some combination of that or left field, then where does he fit? And, I mean, Michael Garcia didn't even start opening day. And now you can't keep him out of the lineup. And not only can you not keep him out of the lineup, but he's not batting ninth. You know, he's going to bat fifth, sixth, somewhere in there, seventh. And if India's off, he's going to bat leadoff. So that's been a great development. You're right, though. The rest of the team hasn't caught up. Seeing really good signs from Salvi on that. You know, he had the 4-5-hit game in the doubleheader last Thursday. Last night, if you look at the box score, it's going to show 1-4. There's a reason why I highlight or color code my scorecard, because I always want to show the hard hit balls, not for anything other than when you see a bunch of them stacked up, there's probably been some bad luck, or maybe more significantly, it's a sign that something good is going to come. And I think if I look at last night, and I checked this out after the game or during the post game show, Salvi was 1-4 with an RBI double in there, but the average exit velocity, that includes three outs, was like 104 or 105. I mean, he was just smoking the ball for a couple of those outs. So Salvi looks like he's close. I think Vinny looks like he's getting closer. Massey has struggled. But I think that if you're looking past the two guys that you mentioned, it's got to start with Vinny and Salvi. I mean, those are your 3 and 4 hitters. And, yes, great if you can get production from the Kyle Isbells of the world or Freddie Fermin or guys like that. But it's got to, to me, the next step is Salvi and Vinny.
Right now, we're talking to Joel Goldberg about the Kansas City Royals that are currently at 500. They got a chance to go over today in their game against Tampa Bay. This is crazy to think about when you think about the Royals, but today, Noah Cameron's going to make his first start. Yeah. He could go out there and pitch a perfect game, and I would say in the next 5 days, they probably have to move on from him just because their rotation has been so good. This is certainly one of those good problems, but I'm just not sure if there's a spot for him in the rotation when everybody is healthy.
There is not a spot for him in the rotation. Man, that's not even – I'm not sure. Now, we could debate if he's better than someone else. I don't know how we could debate that right now because we don't know, but – and this is a rhetorical question. If you were going to bounce anybody from this rotation, who would it be? That's how good this rotation has been, that if Michael Lorenzen is your number 5, and I know all managers say, oh, there's no difference from 1 through 5. It's just, well, there is. I mean, I get the point of that. You know, you want to respect everybody, and you like your guys, or at least you want to pretend like you like your guys. In this case, Matt Quatrero has every reason to like all 5 of his guys. And, you know, your number 1 is the guy you want to pitch in game 1 of a series or game 7 of a series if it lines up right. But I think the Royals would feel comfortable with any of these five. And so it's pretty rare to have five in a rotation where maybe you have a prospect like a Noah Cameron, or at some point a prospect like Ben Kuderna, the Kansas City kid, both Kansas City area kids, knocking on the door, and it's going to be hard for them to get here. That's a heck of a problem to have, no different than having a great backup quarterback in football, I guess, where, you know what, if they can't crack your lineup, it means because your lineup is that good. And so it'd be great if Noah Cameron throws a perfect game tonight. I don't know. I've never seen one in person and never seen the Royals throw a no-hitter in my 18, 17-plus seasons here. But whatever he does tonight, there's a good chance that he gets sent back out tomorrow, or maybe they wait just to make sure that Cole Reagan's spot in the rotation is good to go the next time through, which they expect will be on Sunday or Monday. But this is an incredible problem for the Royals to have. Think about all the years that we've talked about Royals baseball, you, me, and everybody else, and lamenting the fourth or fifth spot in the rotation, or even the third spot in the rotation. And right now, they could tap into Noah Cameron when Cole Reagans is trying to get through this little groin injury that is not needing, to this point, they really don't believe needs any injured list time. But instead of rushing it, they have the luxury of going to their top prospect. That's a pretty good thing.
Right now, we're talking to Joel Goldberg with the Kansas City Royals. Joel, from a defensive perspective, where do you think is the best place to play Jonathan India?
I don't know. Probably second base, but, you know, the best place to play Michael Massey is second base. I guess this is another good problem to have in unless it becomes an actual problem, meaning that if he's a liability. But I don't think I've seen that. I mean, I see him learning left field. He seems okay at third base. And as long as he gives you something decent out there, I mean, it's been a while since the Royals have had an Alex Gordon in left field. Benintendi, for the short time he was here, was pretty good. We haven't seen an Alex Gordon since that. MJ Melendez put in a lot of work and looked good there. And look, if MJ gets himself right and gets back whenever that time may come, then you end up seeing India more at third base. Without MJ, you could see him a lot in left field. I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing here that the best spot for him, just for him, is second base, because that's what he's played, you know, his whole big league career. But that's also the best spot for Michael Massey. And so, as long as both of them are going well, they're going to find their way in there. And in India's case, to me, as long as he is seeing pitches, taking walks, and grinding out at bats, then he's going to be your leadoff man, and you'll find a spot for him.
Joel, last thing here, man, we appreciate your time. I always love hearing your stories like this. You always have a front row seat to a lot of these guys' major league debuts. You get another front row seat today for Noah Cameron. Do you have a favorite, or are there a couple of stories that stand out to you when you get a chance to see a guy play his first game in the big leagues?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I don't want to make this sound like I'm going to say that they're all amazing. And I don't mean that in like a boring cliche way. I've done this so long that I've seen so many guys make it up here, and maybe they make that one debut and they never make it back. Or I've seen guys that knocked on the door and never quite made it. And then you look at the flip side of that, Salvador Perez, all the years he's been doing it and guys like that. And so, like, to me, the big league debut, no matter who it is, no matter where they're from, whether they're from, you know, Venezuela or the Dominican or, you know, the East Coast, the West Coast, rural, urban, whatever it is, like, they've fought their whole lives for this. The fact that tonight Noah Cameron is a guy that grew up watching Royals baseball. And I met him at spring training, and I didn't need to introduce myself because I said this on the air last night, he knew who I was. And I don't say that like, wow, how cool. I think it's cool that he gets to make his debut for the team that he watched, that he is going to pitch tonight, and be in a clubhouse with Salvador Perez, who he was cheering for like everybody else in Kansas City or St. Joe and in the area. So I'm really excited to see that. Selfishly, the only negative to it is when a starting pitcher makes his big league debut and they announce it the day before or the day of, we don't have the ability to talk to him until after. And I would have loved to have to have caught up with him beforehand, but I'll leave him alone and let him lock in as they do for a starting pitcher on game day. But I think, you know, the one that I didn't answer, the one that stands out to me real quick, and there's so many little ones that people won't remember, but Nate Eaton in 2022 made his debut in Toronto like a lot of Royals players did. Freddie Fermin being one of them, Michael Massey being one of them. Remember, they brought 10 guys up because players couldn't get into Canada due to lack of a COVID shot and regulations. And Nate Eaton makes his debut, and in his final at-bat in a 2-1 game, he hits a homer to give them a 3-1 lead in the ninth inning. I think it was the top of the ninth. And so he's my guest, and I'm interviewing him, and he says it was just like, you know, what he dreamt up in the backyard. And as he crossed second base, the only voice he could hear in the stands at Rogers Center in Toronto was his mom's. And I thought, I think the guys in the booth choked up. I probably choked up a little bit. And I'm like, that right there is in some form or another everybody's dream debut, right? And we all had some version of that dream, whether it was hitting, you know, the 3-point shot to win the NBA Finals or to throw that touchdown pass or to hit that home run. And they don't always go that way. I mean, I tell guys all the time that whatever, if I get a chance to talk to them, however you do tonight, best game ever, worst game ever, perfect game, or you know, only last one inning, no one could ever take this away from you. This is your debut. And I just think it's the coolest thing. So I'm excited to see tonight's.
That is Joel Goldberg joining us on the show today. You can catch him coming up later today on the broadcast. The Royals look to go over 500 heading into the month of May against the Rays. Joel, great stuff. Always great catching up with you, man. Have a great rest of your road trip.
All right, see you. I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. That is Joel Goldberg joining us on the show today. Coming up on the other side, it has been a thrilling start to the NBA playoffs. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today
with Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The NBA playoffs have been a lot of fun. Let's talk about them for just a little bit. A couple of things have stood out to me. The first thing that has stood out to me in the NBA playoffs is simple. Very few athletes get to write their farewell speech. Very few athletes get the ability to write the final chapter in their story. Usually somebody else or Father Time writes that for you. I mean, Tom Brady didn't get a send off with the New England Patriots. He threw a pick six in his final pass and then got released by the New England Patriots. I mean, Joe Montana didn't get to finish out his story career with the San Francisco 49ers. Look at how things are going for Aaron Rodgers. Very few athletes get the ability to wrap things up very neatly and go out on their own terms. Everybody that likes basketball likes Damian Lillard. There is not a single person that has bad things to say about Damian Lillard. He has been one of the most exciting and loyal players in the NBA over the last 15 years. He was the face of a franchise. He tore his Achilles. He's done. He's 35 years old, and you have an Achilles injury? Tearing your Achilles in 2025 is what tearing your ACL was in 1995. You remember, when you tore your ACL, we weren't sure if you were ever coming back. or it drastically changed the course of your career. Now, you tear your ACL, it's just not that big of a deal. You go get some surgery, you come back 6 weeks, good as new sometimes. But that is not how tearing your Achilles is. You're out for a substantial amount of time. And even when you come back, you may never be the same, especially as a 6'1 shooting guard. So it makes me sad that we have potentially seen the end of Damian Lillard, or when he comes back, Damian Lillard ends his career for the Washington Wizards coming off the bench. That is not how I want Damian Lillard's career to end, but that is usually how things go in sports. Another thing that I think has been very, very clear in this playoffs, hey, when you got a chance to get your one in the NBA, you better get it. Because think about where Milwaukee was 3-4 years ago. Milwaukee won the NBA championship. They had who we believe to be the best player in the NBA. They just got eliminated in the first round again. Their second best player, who they traded almost all of their assets for, is now probably going to miss most of, if not all, of next season. And you are going to start to have the conversation, if they are not already having it, is what's the future of Giannis here? When you got a chance to get your one in the NBA, boy, you better get it, because things can turn really, really quickly for you in the league. You can be up at one point, winning championships. Giannis, I want to be here. I'm loyal. I'm staying here. Next thing you know, you get traded to the New York Knicks for 3 first-round picks and Julius Randle. That's how this thing can go in a heartbeat. That's how things can go. They're sending you to New York for Karl Anthony Towns. That is how this could potentially go for Giannis, for the Milwaukee Bucks. They have since been eliminated from the NBA playoffs. Milwaukee, it is time to do some soul searching, because this combination that you got going on right now, it does not work. You have reached your expiration date. It is over for you in Milwaukee. Coming up at the top of the hour, let's get back to the Chiefs. I made my Chiefs offseason roster. Today I saw a video, and it was Justin Ross working out. And I'm telling you, back in the day when Justin Ross used to work out, I mean, you could lead the show with Justin Ross. The hope, the optimism. We thought the Chiefs had found this diamond in the rough, and that he just fell in the draft, and that the Chiefs were smarter than everybody else. And man, the Chiefs were putting out those little hype videos. You guys remember the videos that I'm talking about. Justin Ross is absolutely on first team Chiefs Twitter offseason hype. I have made my full list of who I think that is. We'll go through that coming up in a bit. I forgot that Justin Ross was even around until I saw this video posted earlier today by Starcade Media. Shout out to them. I saw the video. Justin Ross, he looked like he was in somebody's backyard. This didn't look like he was on an official football field. It looked like he was at Mo West. It looked like he was somewhere in Grain Valley in somebody's backyard playing a little catch outside. He ran a little route. And I'm telling you, back in the day, that thing would have went viral. It would have been on the front page of the Kansas City Star. You guys don't care about Justin Ross anymore. You moved on. You moved on. And now we'll see who that next player is potentially going to be. Maybe it's Nico Remigio. Maybe it's Breshard Smith. But don't worry. You guys will find a new Justin Ross to put all your hopes and dreams into. That's what the NFL offseason is about. Everything has a season. There's free agency season, then there's draft season, and then there is unrealistic expectation season. We are a couple weeks away from unrealistic expectation season. Another unrealistic expectation would be for the Royals to let us know where the stadium is going to be. I mean, I know, you know, we've been doing this for a year. You would think that we would get some clarity in all of this. We will never get clarity on this. Here is the mayor of North Kansas City. He says they haven't talked to the Royals.
Then the Royals. So a few council members have alluded to that, comments from the public tonight. I just want to put it out there. We've had no conversations with the team. No one on this governing body is out begging the team to come to North Kansas City. I know that's being passed around. It's got the impression in the community that we are outward asking them to come here. We haven't been approached by the team or the developer at this point. We haven't heard, as Councilmember Fitzgerald said, anything official since the end of 2023. And so it is my pledge during this, if we go down this road again, that we're going to engage the residents. We're going to talk back and forth with you. We're going to share the information we have, and we're going to get your feedback. Those questions that you have, the things that Mindy and Dave enumerated, there's a survey that went around. There's some real good questions, some real boots on the ground affecting the residents, things that we need to talk about before anything is going to move forward. Then we talk about money, we talk about finance, and we talk about what that will look like. But the residents are going to have a say. And pardon the god-awful pun that I'm going to throw out there, but if this is not a home run for North Kansas City, we're not going to move forward.
We'll never get clarity on this issue. The World Cup will come and go, and we will have no clarity on this issue. They're about to open up the streetcar extension very, very soon. I believe that it's coming. I believe we'll have the streetcar opened up by the end of the summer. I think you will be able to ride it from the River Market all the way to UMKC's campus. I think you'll be able to do that. We still will have no clarity on where the baseball team is going to play in the future. We will never figure this out. I don't know who they're talking to. I don't know what they're talking about. It's not going to be on 135th. They've at least seemed to cross that off the board. They haven't been talking to North Kansas City. Maybe they're going to Kansas. Maybe they're going to downtown. Maybe they're going to Louisville. I mean, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out what city they will go to. But eventually, I would like to think that we will get an answer of what the future looks like for the Kansas City Royals. One thing that they have in their future is potentially going over 500, and they can do that coming up later today with the win over the Tampa Bay Rays. You can hear that right here on 96.5 The Fan. All right, coming up on the other side, I saw a new video with Justin Ross, and it inspired me to make the all-offseason Chiefs team. I'll tell you the roster. Keep it right here, so drive.